Welcome to Hashtag. And everybody's talking about?
What's everybody talking about? They're talking about the Israeli elections that are happening today. They're talking about Iran still trying to negotiate a deal. They're talking about Hillary Clinton and her email.
And that's what we're going to be talking about. Joe Trippi's sitting right there. He's worked on like half a dozen presidential campaigns. So say the thing.
Say the thing. Roll it, Steve.
Welcome to Hashtag here at Voice of America. Today we're looking at politics in the modern age. There is, of course, the story of Hillary Clinton and her emails, tens of thousands now being handed over to her former employer, the U.S. State Department. It's something that we're going to, of course, talk about. We need to touch on that in great detail. But it raises so many other questions asked beyond just the individual ones. Granted, Hillary Clinton is huge. She's a rock star in politics, and that's part of what is playing into this. But the real question is, how should world leaders around the world engage with people on social media? When it comes to electronic communications, something that all of us are on all the time, how do we ensure that those communications remain confidential, especially in the age of WikiLeaks? And take it from somebody who's been WikiLeaked in the past, is it even realistic in this day and age? We've got a lot to cover. Luckily, our Andrew Palcheski is here to find out what's been going on online. But first, we want to get to that reaction from Hillary Clinton. Now, she gave a press conference a week ago today in which she was asked in a very straightforward manner by the media why and how she used her personal email account. Take a listen to her response.
First, when I got to work as Secretary of State, I opted for convenience to use my personal email account, which was allowed by the State Department, because I thought it would be easier to carry just one device for my work and for my personal emails instead of two. Second, the vast majority of my work emails went to government employees at their government addresses, which meant they were captured and preserved immediately on the system at the State Department. Third, after I left office, the State Department asked former secretaries of state for our assistance in providing copies of work-related emails from our personal accounts. I responded right away and provided all my emails that could possibly be work-related, which totaled roughly 55,000 printed pages, even though I knew that the State Department already had the vast majority of them. Fourth, I took the unprecedented step of asking that the State Department make all my work-related emails public for everyone to see.
I'm quite sure I don't need to tell you that this has created an explosion, a buzz online. We're calling it Emailgate. We're calling it Hillary Email. Our own Andrew Palcheski is here to take a look at what's going on online.
Thanks, Cal. Like any good drama, the Clinton email scandal has a diverse cast of characters and a plot with twists and turns. It's all playing out on social media as we speak. Topping the buzz, this article that you see here from Dan Metcalf, who ran the office that governs record keeping for federal officials. He says that, quote, at a minimum, Secretary Clinton's sole use of private emails was a blatant circumvention of the U.S. Freedom of Information Act. But he adds that he'd probably end up voting for her if she runs for president. Even if the White House is being drawn into the email scandal, Valerie Jarrett, one of the President Obama's closest advisors, rumors on social media suggest that Ms. Jarrett was the one who altered State Department alerted State Department officials to Clinton's private email use, an accusation that the White House denies. And Mrs. Clinton may not be the only person with an email problem. Jeb Bush could be Clinton's opponent in the 2016 presidential election. He's the former Florida governor. Reports say he also used personal email to conduct official business while he was governor of Florida. But even in a drama like this, there is some levity. So we have tweets using popular pictures of Secretary Clinton to mock her email practices. And one final note, Republican Lindsey Graham, a Clinton critic and U.S. senator, is facing his own social media backlash after he said that he's never sent an email, even though he sits on the Senate Subcommittee on Privacy, Technology, and Law. Cal?
We are going to get to all of those issues. We're going to try to break this down by politics, by information, freedom, and by cybersecurity. Now, our first guest knows the politics of it. Joe Trippi is a veteran political strategist, a contributor to Fox News, Welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. And I want to mention the book, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, Democracy, the Internet, and the Overthrow of Everything. It's a book I read in college, a political science major. That means government for all of
you're
you out
dating
there.
Me here.
I know, and myself.
It was like, yeah, it was
right.
10 years ago.
But it stands up. The book stands up. And you write in the book, actually, Internet is the last hope for democracy. Do you still believe that after all this?
No. Yeah, actually, I do. But it's going to be messy. I mean, that's part of what's going on here. The technology has moved so fast that government practices, the practices of politicians, haven't caught up to where things have, including the rules and regulations. They were constantly evolving during all of this. I mean, we talk about, you know, could she have carried two devices around? Like, it's easy in 2015 to forget that the iPhone didn't get launched till 2007, that BlackBerry didn't even create BlackBerry Balance, which let you carry both a enterprise, a government, or company,
and a Gmail.
And a Gmail on the same device. Didn't do that till 2013, basically in her last year of being in the State Department. That doesn't excuse anything, but I'm just saying what is going on here is it's all moving so quickly, and then all of a sudden you're caught, like using practices that may have seemed logical in 2008, 2009, but seem illogical today to all of us.
How has she handled this so far? Do you think she's done well with the media? I know she's kind of only addressed it once.
Well, look, I think part of the problem is that she doesn't have an apparatus to deal with it. She's not a candidate yet. I was one of the people who thought, hey, wait as long as you can. I think now that's working against her. She doesn't have advanced people to put that event together. She doesn't have flacks out there that are, you know, can be quoted and push back on any of these attacks, whether they're well-motivated attacks or other political. Most of them are political, but hey, you know, everybody knows you're running, so
it's election season already.
Yeah,
right.
It,
I mean, that's one of her issues.
Yeah, well, one of the things that's interesting to me is, you know, Rand Paul, did a statement saying that she had broken the law, and it was really interesting because most of the press covered it as Senator Rand Paul questioning the former Secretary of State's, you know, breaking law. The reality is, presidential candidate Rand Paul,
right,
is you know, raising the heat on presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's mistake on emails, or maybe she did. But what I'm saying is, right now it's the political context, because she's not a candidate, is driving everything.
And there's a rocks glass houses thing here, right? Because we've already heard Jeb Bush may have done some of this, and like you said, I mean, it's all new, right?
Well, look, she could be running against Lindsey Graham, who's never used email. She could be running against Perry, who deleted his email after it was 7 days old. Every single email got deleted at the end of 7 days. Bush had a server, but they weren't Secretary of State. I mean, I understand. I mean, there is a real difference, and they weren't. There are different implications. But if we're gonna have the debate, there will be one, and somebody has got to be on the other side, and they're going to have. They may not. The way they handled emails may not be the issue. Maybe the way who they took money from, and that'll be a Hillary issue as well. But I mean, there'll be a series of issues that they'll have to debate and discuss. And the American people, in the end, are going to be the jury on all of this.
I just want to jump in here, sure, because something that was just breaking on Twitter today is that Speaker John Boehner, House Speaker, has come out and wants Hillary Clinton to hand over the servers that she had at her house. Do you think that she should do that? Is this a political move? I mean, it seems, because he's a Republican, she's a Democrat, that there are certainly political overtones, or is this something that she should comply with?
Well, he should be demanding, I mean, if he's going to go, we should be, all of us, demanding her DMs, too, right, on Twitter. If the interesting thing about this, and she said, trust me and all that, but, in reality, if she had a Secretary of State Department account, and she had a private email account and carried two devices, you'd have to assume, if you're going to assume that we're trying to sneak stuff around here, that she's using her personal email to email people on their personal accounts, and we'd have these really pristine State Department emails, and it would all be happening over here. If you assume, okay, you get the server, and there's nothing on the server, then...
Because you're only seeing half, you're only seeing maybe half of it. You're only seeing three quarters
right,
of it, whatever.
Well, let's get our DMs.
Right.
I mean, why wouldn't they have been DMing each other on Twitter that we would never see? That would never be on a government. You know. So at some level, you have to. There's a trust factor that does kick in. Either you do or you don't. There'd be plenty of people will never trust Hillary Clinton.
And that's based on politics.
And
right.
So now. The no matter what you get, including that server, they get the server, nothing's on it. They were using Snapchat. I mean, at some level, this is part of the whole problem now of the policies and things. How will we ever look, Lindsey Graham? Why didn't he use email?
This is something I want to get to. I know we got to squeeze in a break,
sorry.
But I want to get to this because there's a dinosaur factor here of you have to be engaged on social media. You have to as a politician today. So, I mean, what do you make of the Lindsey Graham thing quickly? I'm sorry.
It's simple. Don't ever put anything in writing.
Right.
Right. Don't use it. So what the end game of all this will be? Nobody in government in their right mind will use government email. In other words, what we want is everybody to use their government email, and what we're going to get instead...
It's carrier pigeons.
Notes. Right. They'll be, hey, call who you're trying to communicate with on the phone, because there's no recording of the conversation. If that's not... Actually, Saturday Night Live got it right with that, with the parody of Hillary. Like, what did you think was on there that I like typed in? You know,
right.
I would be shocked if there's anything in any of those. And it's not about Hillary. I'm saying just about anybody now who's been through the rough and tumble of politics is not going to put, is going to be very careful about what they put in an official government, which is why Lindsey Graham doesn't have one, because there's no danger of that if you haven't put it in writing in an email on a government server. There's no danger of you saying something that's going to get you into trouble.
We got to squeeze in a quick break. When we get back, we're going to have Judicial Watch weigh in. We're also going to have cyber security expert in on the discussion. Stay with us.
Like us on Facebook at #VOA.
Watching #VOA with Cal Perry.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Cal Perry. Today we're talking about Hillary's email, privacy, and political life. From our position overlooking Capitol Hill, we want to bring in Michael Beksha of Judicial Watch, which has been highly critical of Ms. Clinton's actions, and by Skype from Virginia, Stephen Hiltquist. He's the chief evangelist of Red Seal. .co is the website where you can find his work. He's a cybersecurity analyst. Welcome to you both. I want to start with Michael. Michael, walk me through what Judicial Watch is doing. You've filed a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, to try to acquire the emails. Is that right?
That is. Since Secretary Clinton was secretary, Judicial Watch has filed about 160 FOIA requests. We've sued the State Department 20 times, and we have about 10 still active cases. So we've asked for a status conference in one of the cases. In one of the cases that we closed about a year ago, we went to the court and asked them to reopen the case because we have this new information. They didn't tell us. They didn't actually search Secretary Clinton's emails. So now that we know they couldn't have searched it, we're trying to reopen that case. And then we've also sent about 13 new FOIA requests concerning the emails. We've asked specifically for the 55,000 pages. We've asked for the communications between Secretary Clinton and the State Department and the White House, the State Department and Congress. really anyone that may be involved and may have had evidence. We've submitted FOIA requests trying to find that.
Talk to me very briefly about the potential laws that were broken. I don't want to drill down too much, but I want to make it clear, especially to our international audience, that part of this is a concern that there was federal law broken, right?
Absolutely. There's something called the Federal Records Act, which requires that every agency process, maintain, store, and make readily available federal records that are created on a daily basis. So it's still not 100% sure exactly which statutes may have been violated, which laws were broken, but you know, there were definitely laws violated. Not only the Federal Records Act, but also obstruction, also violation of the Freedom of Information Act. Essentially, the public should have access to her emails, and because she hid them in New York, no one has had access to them for the past 6 years.
Mr. Hiltquist, I'm wondering, you know, one of the things that she said is that this email server was secure. This was an email server that was really set up for her husband initially, the former president of the United States, Bill Clinton. Is anything secure? Is any email server secure these days? And if so, how do we know?
So the short answer from my view is no. Nothing is really secure. And it's a matter of how secure is it? How hard is it to break into it? We've seen some reports that some people have already kind of found the server, broken into it, had some idea where it is, how it's connected to the internet. And I don't know specifically what software she was running, how it was patched and how it was run, but here's what I do know. If there are not multiple full-time security experts focused on securing that particular server or server platform, in all likelihood, there were at the very least gaps when known vulnerabilities existed in the server and had not yet been patched, when something could have happened. Somebody could have potentially broken into it. We also know that most attacks these days are launched with automation. There are probes automatically being done all the time across the internet to attack organizations, to attack servers, to attack anything that they discover along the way. So if there are holes, the chances of them being found are quite good. So those are a couple of the things that concern me about this. I don't believe that unless there was literally a core of people involved in securing this server ongoing every day, that was their number one job, then I have a hard time believing that it was, quote, secured and that it was maintained that way. That's very difficult to do.
I want to bring it back, if I can, a little bit to the politics of it. And it's interesting, sort of, this idea that there's little to be gained, right, by engaging so publicly on things like social media and being so open. This is something that journalists deal with a lot. We're pressured a lot to tweet, and then we see some of our colleagues getting fired for tweets that they maybe shouldn't have sent out. If you're advising a modern-day political candidate, how do you walk that fine line?
Well, I mean, it's different. I mean, there's a difference in being a government official and being a candidate. I mean, a candidate is, it's not, you don't have a lot of the problems of Freedom of Information Act, those kinds of things. So, you know, candidate, be as transparent as you can be. Certainly, a candidate is just as vulnerable as saying something dumb in a tweet, as a journalist might be, that, you know, get you suspended for a while or something like that. And if a candidate does that, you're in trouble. And so that's the whole thing here, is like, how cautious and careful are you versus how open you are. And this is one of the things that Hillary Clinton, I think, has. She's been both of those things at times. I mean, she got incredibly open after she lost Iowa, and sort of let her guard down for a while, and people really responded to that in her. So she's capable of that. But there's also going through the 1990s, going through constantly being politically attacked. Every word you say, every word you text or tweet, that's out there in the or blog, you know, is out there in the public domain. Being cautious, and in this day and age, the cautious part in politics will hurt you. It's better to be out there a little bit, but you can go over the line too. I don't think that's going to be Hillary's Hillary Clinton's problem is not going to be going over the line. It's going to be how open does she allow herself and her campaign to be.
Michael, I'm wondering if I can just get a quick one in, and then we got to work in our last break. Does Judicial Watch worry about this issue that because hacking has become like a global sport, that officials within governments are just gonna shut it down? They're just not going to put things in emails anymore?
It's definitely a possibility. I just don't see it happening. I mean, I'm not sure how anybody could do business these days without sending emails. So the risk is there, but we hope the security people can secure the emails. But, you know, really, I think it's very rare that anybody these days is going to be able to do anything without sending text messages, without sending direct messages on Twitter, and without sending email. I mean, it's almost impossible.
All right, we're going to squeeze in our last break. When we get back, we're going to ask Stephen Hillquist how we can send all these emails securely. He's going to give us all the answers, I promise. We'll be right back.
Tweet us at hashtag VOA.
I'm Eric Felton from Beyond Category. This is VOA. Follow us online at voanews.com.
You're watching hashtag VOA with Cal Perry.
All right, welcome back to the show. Today we continue our conversation about Hillary Clinton, her inconvenient email controversy. We do want to get some audience reaction. Andrew has been following our social media. Let me just quickly take a note, though. Please send us your questions also via video. We've been trying out Vine. Didn't work so well this week. I'm sure it'll work better next week. Take over. Go ahead.
Sounds good. The controversy is touching on numerous areas, as we've already talked about, in social media, politics, national security, cybersecurity, and we want to look at some of the tweets that we've gotten in. Twitter user Broward wonders, will Democrats be okay with private servers for public email for Republicans? As an American, I won't be, and he speculates, neither would they. Robert from the U.S. state of Ohio says he's fed up, writing, the growth of hashtag Hillary email goes from a story to an event to a scandal to a media frenzy to a GOP takedown. Cool your heels, he says, we have bigger problems in America. And Tim from the U.S. state of Nebraska tweets in response to Secretary Clinton, your personal emails are almost guaranteed to be in the wrong hands. He writes, simplicity equals weak security. And finally, Sharon from Georgia wants the same scrutiny for Republican Jeb Bush we talked about earlier. She writes, let's have independent person go through Jeb Bush's server to make sure he turned over everything. We're supposed to trust him. And that's just a small sample of the many we've gotten in, Cal.
I wanted to get back to Stephen Hillquist, if I could. He joins us via Skype. And I want to pick up sort of where we left off on the conversation. As you advise your clients, and they come to you and they say, how do I send an email securely? Do you sort of every once in a while think I should just tell them to not send the email?
I do. Two reasons. One of them is encryption is one of the answers, right? And we know for things like iMessage, for example, with Apple has said they can't read them. In fact, we've heard that the government's upset that they can't read them because they're encrypted end to end. So from my device all the way through to you receiving it, the encryption goes end to end and only you and I can see it. That is hard to do in email because all of the different servers, all of the different parts of the internet that mail goes through, the two ends have to be compatible. There are ways to do it, but so far it's been really hard to get the two ends to have easy enough to use ways of encrypting the email end to end. The other piece is encryption at rest. So Hillary's emails, I assume from the sounds of it, were sitting in her email server. They were just sitting there. And most email servers will store that information in clear text, unencrypted. So if someone broke into the server, they could literally read all of that email. So there's two pieces. One of them is encryption at rest. One of them is encryption end to end. And it's very difficult to do the latter. It's easier to do the former, but I don't know of a lot of organizations that do that. There are a couple of services on the internet that are hosted internationally, say in Switzerland, for example, that do provide these kind of services, but they are rare.
I wanted to just jump in here, and Mr. Trippi, while we have you here, since you're an avid Twitter user, and we've been talking a little bit about Twitter, we've been talking about the different areas that this touches on. What would be the 140 characters that you would, I'm not going to hold you to the strict limit of 140 characters, but what would be the tweet that you would send out about this? Does it focus on the national security? Does it focus on the political elements? What is the next step? What would you write about this?
I would just ask the simple question, you know, where are the DMs? Where's the Snapchat? I mean, again, if you believe something wrong was being done, it wasn't happening where everybody's looking. It's not on that server. And so we can keep chasing that one.
Michael, Stephen,
and that was a lot longer than 140
characters. That's okay.
Let me ask Michael, will Judicial Watch be able to get to the DMs? Will you be able to get to the conversations that would actually matter? Or are you restricted by the government email?
You know, it's an interesting question that, you know, we've been looking at, whether it's text message, whether it's DMs, whether it's anything else. You know, if those records are being created in the official capacity, then those should be government records as well. Secretary Clinton had an official Twitter account as secretary, then those are government records just as her emails are.
Are we looking, Joe, at a boot camp for presidential candidates on how to, in a modern digital age, deal with all of these issues?
Absolutely. I think and particularly for those in government. If you've got two devices, I mean, interesting point, you've got two devices. One is my personal device, one's my government device. I use this one to personally DM somebody. How does Judicial Watch, I mean, how do you claim that there may well have been official government interaction going on there? But I don't know this is the whole problem with, you know, I think there are a lot of issues that are happening because of how the speed of technology that we don't have. I mean, I don't know what the answer to that question is. I certainly, as a government official, should be turning over every single thing and having it, you know, that's government related. I also have a right as a human being to have a personal life and have a personal email account. Those two things are reality, but you used to be the member of Congress could not call from his phone in the Capitol, right? Because if it was campaign business, he actually got up out of that physical location, walked across the street to a private residence and made his fundraising calls there, and then went back to the office. We knew where things were because there was a place. Now you just turn off the GPS on your phone and have two accounts on it. And there's no real, we haven't changed legal rules, practices, anything to take any of that into account. And so you'll never find it. In other words, that's where I think we're going to is government officials who learn, like Lindsey Graham did, don't have an email account. I mean, so there are no, Judicial Watch wants them. There isn't anything to get. And meanwhile, it's all happening over, you know, off the books somewhere, because that's the safest way to do it, because we'll never be able to get the DMs or, you know, wherever Snapchats. I mean, and by the way, we're just talking about, like, some of the ones that are, you know, the public gets now. I mean, DMs, we all understand that. But they're going to be even better ways to do it.
Well, there are apps. Sure, as we've had this show, there have been apps that have been created to do these kind of things.
That's what I'm saying. So how do you govern that? How do you create the different set of protect privacy, but also protect the public's right, you know, ensure that the public's right to know is there? And I don't think any of the, in working in politics and working with people in government that I know, I'm just astonished how far behind government regulations and procedures are, not just in this, but cybersecurity across the board, and when it comes, because technologies move much faster than
the
bureaucracy's ability to change the.
That's going to have to be our final thought. I'm so sorry. I want to thank all of our guests, Joe Trippi, Michael Beckshaw, and Steve Hillquist. Thank you so much. In the meantime, visit our website on behalf of the entire team. Thank you very much for watching. We will see you next week.